Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to start again in Spiritual Gifts, session number 8. And we are on, well, the definitions, part 5 in the definitions. In this session, we're going to define serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. Now, in the context of this, though, there is the book of Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to pray that God give all of us insight, and may God, manifest the giftings in you. May you be led in using them faithfully, wonderfully by the Spirit of God in the body of Christ and on the field of evangelism for that matter. Let me mention right now, too, that the giftings listed here and defined here comes out of Romans 12, where the word, you know, charismatic or charisma comes from in defining these gifts. But in the context of the chapter, and I think this is very good in the sense of discovering and knowing and even using our giftings, it begins with our embrace of the mercy of God. Romans chapters 1 through 11 gives this massive picture of the salvation of God, the mercy of God, and the work that God has done in Christ. So when we think of that and we are told in verse 1 about, you know, becoming or offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, verse 2, not conforming any longer to the patterns of the fallen world, and then we read the phrase, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform, metamorphosis, the idea of a change that occurs. And literally for all of us, a spiritual development, a change occurs as we're surrendering all of our being to Christ. Literally opening ourselves up completely so that Christ can use all of our life to the glory of God. Now this is vital in our discovery of gifts and in our use of gifts. And literally in all of our relationship with the Lord in any kind of service. Now, the word renewing there is used in Titus 3 in reference to God the Holy Spirit. In the process of yielding our lives completely and totally to Jesus. Opening wide every bit of our lives. Like Psalm 81:10, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. The idea that God calls us to not hold anything back, but to surrender everything, which will, in the use of giftings and ministry, include time, effort, faithfulness, being consistent. So in this surrender, there is a change, a work of God going on, and a renewing by the Holy Spirit of our mind and perception. And then it says, so that you can test or approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I believe that includes the concept of giftings. So immediately from that call to surrender all of our lives in view, well, literally of the surrender of God in Christ, he gave everything to us. So we give everything back. Why hold anything back? Everything we lay on the table or as a living sacrifice of our body, soul, mind, time, every ounce of us, can then be a open vessel to be filled, transformed, renewed, guided, led, directed, empowered. And there's a clarity that comes in that surrender. In this context, we have then the teaching on the gifting. Verse 3 deals with Paul acknowledging the grace that's given to him. He's got grace and giftings and abilities. Now we're told in the context of gifts and abilities immediately, even before definitions, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Now that's important so that we realize again the giftings are not badges of authority, badges of superiority. They're functions. They're parts of the work and the grace, and it's literally God coming through our lives to minister to others. It's not anything we've earned or acquired on our own. It's gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so in our acceptance, there can be great excitement when there's manifestation, when there's, you know, things that occur, when we have giftings that, you know, all of a sudden we're ministering to people, or people are getting healed, or people are getting a word of knowledge, or whatever the gift may be, there can be great excitement. But in the context, always remembering, like salvation, given as total grace, the absolute privilege to be able to minister to others by the presence and the power and the abilities that God gives us. And we've already mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 that it is the Spirit of God that determines. We can desire gifts, look, pray for, ask. I have no problem with that. We should. We should be eager. We should be coming before the throne. God, give me more. Give me others. You know, which ones do I have? Manifest them. Let me use them. And if we come with a desire like that, then maybe we can also realize that in the context of Romans 12, and, well, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Romans 12, 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, literally ablaze in spirit, burning in spirit, serving the Lord. So if we are surrendered completely, filled completely, knowing our giftings and work, knowing the mission of God, and realizing that all that we do in reaching the world for Christ, using our giftings in that context and in the body, that it's serving the Lord. And the great thing is, we don't have to do it, you know, where we're dragging ourselves along. The Spirit of God says, never be lacking in zeal. That has to deal with passion and excitement, showing up early, being on time, being there, being faithful, ready to serve. That's how servants of God should be. Passionate about unleashing the grace and the mercy of God to others. Now, it says keep your spiritual fervor, and literally, as I said, it means to burn in spirit or be ablaze in the Spirit of God, ablaze for God. And serving the Lord. Now, this whole context of chapter 12 teaches us many things. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So we have tremendous instruction in our relationship with Christ, in our character, in how we relate to everyone else, in our mission and serving of Jesus, and in the giftings God has given us. So it's really quite interesting that chapter 12 does not permit us to just get tunnel vision, that all I have is the gift of serving, and I'm just going to go serve and pass out envelopes and help do things. That's all I'm going to do. Well, the Bible also talks about do not repay anyone evil for evil. It talks about if your enemy is hungry, feed him. It talks about love must be sincere. And so take in the entire context of Romans 12. Take some time today as you go over this session to read it. Let God speak to you. Saturate your life with the truths. Wherever we need to yield to God, if there's need of repentance, openness. But let it all begin with verse 1. When God, the Holy Spirit, says, I urge you. Brothers and sisters, of course, in view of God's mercy, and let me tell you something, God's mercy is massive and great and incredible, sacrificial. In view of all that, offer yourself, your very being, as a living sacrifice. You know, shut off the fallen world from stealing your time, taking things, conforming to its attitudes, its directives, its way of doing things, the flesh and the devil, all of that. You know, don't conform. Don't yield and be put into its patterns. You're freed from the patterns of the world, the flesh and the devil. Now, in Christ, walk in the Spirit, since we live in the Spirit. And in the context of that, then we can, I believe, not only discover our giftings, 1, 2, 3, or 4, you know, how many God gives us, but then begin to use them in a faithful way. And then also recognizing others, and as I said already, very important in this course, in this day and age, in an unprecedented time in history in which there is, just great ramping up of the demonic side, which means counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. And every gifting being counterfeited. Now, we'll do that in a later session. Let's go over the definitions here. Verse 3, in reference to the grace given to Paul, he mentions, you know, how we're to look at ourselves. In verse 4, don't forget the context of the body of Christ. God did not call us to be lone rangers. He called us to be in the context of loving brothers and sisters and being in the body and so forth, so that we can receive ministry too and see and feel the grace of God by others that are using their giftings. Verse 4 tells us, just as each of us has one body with many members. And even right now as I speak, my hands are in front of me on the desk, every bit of me is involved, but for different purposes. And the members of my body, my hand doesn't do what my foot does. My foot doesn't do what my hand does. My ear doesn't do what my mouth does, and my mouth doesn't do what the ear does. Every single part is vital and necessary, and when functioning well, it enables us, you know, to live well. And so the body of Christ, the members do not have the same function. So when you think in terms of, now see how it says here, function or ability or work or ministry. We don't all have that. Some will have teaching. Some will have leadership. Some will have mercy. Some will have contributing. Some will have word of knowledge. You know, whatever the giftings are. No believer really, unless it's really apostolic in the sense of having the use of all giftings, and many times pastors had to, you know, they might have 10 or 12 giftings in them because they're doing a lot of equipping and, you know, helping others to find their gifts. So for many times, upper leadership may have a number of spiritual gifts, but in general, when it comes to the body of Christ, we don't have the same function. We have the same Lord, the same Holy Spirit, the same call to love one another, the same ability to pray in power, the same first frontline call of God to win the world to Christ. We have one Lord, one mission, one Holy Spirit. But then there's functions, giftings, so that the body of Christ can be a Holy Spirit symphony. And the sound, the ministry can be full and complete, and that so many things. Think in terms of if just one believer had all the gifts and nobody else had any. That person would be wore out. Experiencing a lot, but be wore out. You only have so much time to do and operate and unleash your giftings. God designed, as we've seen in 1 Corinthians 12, to each one, every single believer in Christ is to be filled with the Spirit, to be witnessing and winning souls, is to be a prayer warrior, and in the body of Christ is to have giftings. That's God's will. Discovery is easier as we are yielded and ready to serve. So in verse 5, so in Christ we are many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. There is a sense of belonging in the body. We need to realize under the Lordship of Jesus Christ that we have accountability to brothers and sisters in Christ, and they to us. That they are my real brothers and sisters. See, me, my issue, I love being with brothers and sisters in Christ. I love going. I don't determine because they're doing well or they're strong or, you know, it's not based on that. Do they know Jesus? Are they born of the Spirit of God? And it all begins with loving one another. Now, let's get into the gifts here in verse 6 on down. We have different gifts. Again, God says it clearly, different charisma, according to the grace given to us. Now, we've already mentioned prophesying, speaking forth by the leading inspiration of the Spirit of God. Prophesying can come in different forms, and it can even be a song and so forth. Now, we've already done that gifting, but it's clearly part of the body of Christ to where folks will speak forth a word from God. And that could be personal prophecy. We can get more into the prophets as we've already done, like Abagus, who gave predictive prophecy. So look at the earlier MP3s on prophets and prophesying. Now it says here in verse 7, though, and here's what's very important now. If it is serving, which comes from the word where we get deacon, deaconoia, just simply serving. Now here's the definition of serving, deaconoia. It can be a deacon. Literally, the charismatic gift of deaconoia, or serving, ministering, it's the idea that you're just simply there to serve. You can come to leaders and say, hey, I just want to serve. And they can give you direction and say, here, do this over here or do this over there. You might see something in the body that needs to be done and you want to just go offer yourself. So those who have the gift, they have a gift of wanting just to do service, ministry. That could be handing out communion. That could be shoveling snow on wintry days around the church. That can be working in the office. And somebody that has that gift, some call this a motivational gift, a gift where they just want to be in place, serving and ministering and giving, volunteer time, volunteering to serve. And this gifting moves them to fill in areas where there's need. I've found a lot of people over the years who have the charismatic gift of serving. They ask. They stand in line. Who wants to serve Christ? And all kinds of areas. So it's very important for upper leadership to know those who have this gifting, because they're there to help. And they will broaden ministry, make the load lighter for those who are in, ministry. They're just simply, they're gonna serve with you and do things, and you're going to divide the work. And they'll be able to do things so that, well, like in the book of Acts, if you see how the apostles were preaching the gospel, doing evangelism, doing prayer, many powerful things, but there was need. Kind of some debate showed up because of the way the food was being distributed, and the leadership said, basically, instead of us doing this and neglecting our areas, you know, seek some individuals known to be filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom, and bring them, and literally they would be, some call that the first deacons. They came to serve. They were Spirit-filled individuals who were known among the body. And they were placed in areas that solved issues for the larger body of Christ. And they filled in areas. So in bodies of Christ, local churches where there's a complaint, this is not being done or that's not being done, the gift of service, anybody having that will be able to stand up and fill. And I would recommend that if you have this gifting, if you realize that there is a motivation in you, as you look around and say, you know what, I just want to serve the Lord. I want to work in the office and help do this and this and this. I want to just help the deacons, or I want to become a deacon, or I want to be with that teacher in there, and I want to help cut things out and do things and set things up and help with the kids. It's the idea of motivation. Sometimes with this charismatic gift, you don't really care. You're not really concerned where. Sometimes when there's a gift mix, then you would be with somebody. You feel a passion for youth. So you want to serve in the context of youth. You have a passion for senior citizens. So you want to serve in the context of ministering and helping out ministry to senior citizens. So look at the gift that drives you. If this is a gift that drives and motivates you, and you're happy to go serve and serve, and that's giving time, and that's giving effort. And you can get tired at times, and that's fine. And then if you have a passion for an area, a simple, again, look for the leading of the Holy Spirit, offer yourself to other leaders, and get involved, and begin to serve. And take the guidance of leaders and those that are in ministries where you've come to serve. Now, if it is serving, the Holy Spirit says, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Now, here is this idea of, literally taking the Word of God and teaching others. You can teach about prayer. You can teach about soul winning. You can teach about giving. You can teach the Gospel of John. You can teach the book of 1 John. Teaching. Let me say one thing about teaching. Never stop learning. Broaden your life. If you've got the call to teach, you know, there's the Holy Spirit gifting in you. Will you're like thinking about teaching and you're loving to get into the Word and you love detail and you want to explain things and you want to tell others. And if you find yourself doing this and looking at the Scriptures and studying and reading and doing things, well, God doesn't do it just for yourself. I mean, we can learn all we want just for ourselves, but in the gift of teaching, you're motivated to communicate all of it to others. Now, I will say what John the Baptist said. A man has only what he has received from God. Gospel of John. And that's true. You can only teach what you actually know. Let me say a couple things about teachers. Usually they do know more because anytime they're teaching, they're studying, preparing, praying over. And many times you study far more than you actually give out in a class or a small group. But if your calling is and gifting is teaching the Word of God and being led by the Spirit of God, is that to teach new believers in the early discipleship? Is that to teach books of the Bible? You know, that's where the passion and Holy Spirit burden or sense of what you want, what content you know, you want to teach. Is there an area to specialize on? And that's what you're open to. Whatever you have within you, you should be able to teach and give to others. Now, everybody in the body of Christ should teach in some levels in the sense of discipling others. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. That's in Colossians 3. So all the believers are to have whatever content of teaching in them they then can use to share with others and teach and encourage on the spot in different ways and in sitting in a pew or over coffee somewhere. All of us can do that, and we're called to do that. Take what you've got and share with others. You see a brother or sister and lacking in their knowledge of God, share what you got. If you see things that are needed to build someone's faith, share that. Now, when it comes to the gifting of teacher and that you are a teacher of the Word of God, then you just pray, is that going to be towards children, youth, adults, certain subjects? And you step out and begin to teach, and you'll see the Spirit of God really bless and really guide and really build. And the more you teach, the better you know how, because you're using the gift. Same with serving and any other gift. Verse 8 in Romans 12 talks about encouraging. Now, the King James says exhortation or exhort. And I think that it's very important when we look at, even if you look at definitions of Greek words, when it comes to these, you know, whether it's prophesying or teaching or serving, it was interesting to me that service is from the word deaconoion, which is the idea of ultimately of deacon. A deacon is a server. We should be thankful for those who serve faithfully and every week do so many things. They're serving the Lord. And may I say again, serve the Lord with zeal, blaze in the Spirit. And it's important how we do it also, let alone that we do it. I think if we do it in the joy of the Lord, the love of Jesus, the fullness of the Spirit, then the gifting and that beautiful grace will come through. Now, those that are going to have the gift of exhortation. And I would like to say that exhortation and the word encouragement should be linked together in the understanding of this gift, parakleion. And this gifting is the idea of the one that's going to exhort, speak forth, give counsel, give direction, say something. I mean, these are people that want to speak. These are people that want to help. These are people that want to, I mean, they see someone that's, you know, in need of some instruction, in need of some guidance. So they want to exhort. Now, they can stand up in the body in the service where there's openness and someone that has the gift of exhortation or encouragement can stand up and give a word where there's a need for encouragement, a need for exhortation, a need for, you know, some word to be given. Now, I want to say that I found that this gift is literally linked with the concept of counseling, literally linked up with the idea of counseling. because this word, parakleo, it has the idea, again, to be called to go, come alongside someone, exhort them, encourage them, appeal to them. It'll have the idea of entreating them, comforting them. So it has, again, the Spirit of God's motivation in the one with the gift of exhortation, the gift of encouragement, the gift of counsel. Is whether one-on-one, sitting in a pew at a coffee shop, or as a lay counselor, like the altar counselors at a church. I was at a church last week. Invitation was given. And there must have been 50 counselors probably having this gifting, parakleo, this idea of being called alongside to exhort, encourage, give a word. Now, that would include, as the Spirit of God, as person that has this gift, they look or they feel, they see, what does the body of Christ need? Someone can get up and give a half hour of exhortation. Many sermons involve, and many preachers in their gift mix will have this gifting. And they're there to exhort and to encourage. Matter of fact, preachers preaching the Word of God in the books of Timothy and Titus, they're instructed to do this kind of exhorting, encouraging, and so forth. But I would say that this gift has the concept of counseling. It doesn't mean that you have to be in an office. Over the years, I've done a lot of the counseling we've done because it's not, you know, Christian counseling is not bound by the secular rules. I've done counseling at McDonald's, in a park, on the street, in a church, in a hallway, at someone's home. You know, the gifting's in you. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. It's who you're dealing with. And you might look at somebody, if you've got this gifting and you have this constant motivation, this constant sense of seeing somebody or hearing about somebody, listening to somebody, all of a sudden there's a swelling up of giving them an answer, speaking. Now it can involve a couple of things. You see a brother or sister beginning to get off track. Whether you see them or hear them talking to you and hear their weaknesses, somebody that has the gift of exhortation, encouragement, they'll want to right away say, hey, brother, hey, sister, no, you don't want to do that. You want to do this. You want to follow. And right away, bring in the Word of God. Right away, you know, exhorters, encouragers want to lift people up out of their weakness and doubt and woundedness and move them to a deep relationship with Christ, you know, to exhort. Let's get up and serve the Lord. Exhort. Let's get up and become soul winners. To encourage. Come on. You can do it. You really can stand up and begin to experience the power of the Spirit in soul winning. So there's many things that if you have this gifting, begins to well up. I mean, this gifting involves being a talker. There's passion with it at times. There's a motivation to where you know a brother or sister's in deep error and you go looking for them just to tell them, man, you cannot do this. The Word of God says no, and you need to follow the Lord and you need to take the scripture verse and put it in your life. It's those kind of things. Exhorters, like in Colossians 3:16. Now listen, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with what? Wisdom. Now, admonish, notheto, is the idea of face to face. Now, you can do this over the phone. Listen, you can send an exhorting, encouraging word over texting, over an email. But let me tell you something that... whether you text somebody or you email somebody, I still think getting to them face to face. Again, if you see the church in need and you go and say, Pastor, I've got a word of encouragement for the church. I got a word of exhortation. I got a word beseeching the church, beseeching the church and wanting to bring comfort, a call for the church to believe God. You know, and so someone with that kind of gifting can stand up. It's not the word of knowledge. It's not a prophetic word. It's not a word of wisdom. It is literally an appeal, a exhortation, a encouragement, a comforting, a calling, a pleading at times. Listen, having parakleo, this gifting, you may make a very emotional appeal. I mean, this could be used in the context of evangelism, where you're literally exhorting the lost to come to Christ and beseeching them and imploring them. And like we find in Acts chapter 2, after many came to Christ, Peter continued and warned them and urged them with deep emotion. There is exhorting there. You can encourage people to come to Christ. So you can use this gifting, and it will come out in evangelism. It will come out in the body. It will come out on one-on-one. So here we have this incredible, beautiful gift. And let people, if you've got people coming to you to speak, well, be ready to receive. Because if they're walking in the Spirit and they're going to give you an exhortation, they may keep you from some sin issue, so from falling, from living in doubt. They may have a word. Now, again, somebody that's doing it in the Spirit, they're not there to, you know, the goal isn't to embarrass anybody in front of people. If you have this gifting and calling in the context of like a word of counsel, you may take somebody aside, wait to, you know, look at the proper time. It might be a group. It might be the church. It might be an individual. And when people know you have this kind of ability to encourage, exhort, make an appeal, move people from one position, attitude, disposition to a better one, to a right one, to one that aligns with following Christ and obeying the Word of God. So you're gonna find yourself using the Word of God with this gift and sharing. I mean, the Word of God should be all over the use of this gifting. Anybody giving a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, a prophetic word, or an exhortation, an encouragement. It will always, if it's from the Spirit of God, line up and be completely in tune with the Word of God. And many times, if not most of the times, the Word of God will be used in the context. So very important for us to understand how important not only those who have this gift to give and give the Word and encourage and exhort and be allowed to, and they might be passionate about it at times. You look at the book of Acts, you'll see passion, even in Acts chapter 1, when you're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit and you're exhorting the church or exhorting a group or exhorting individuals to come up out of their, well, fleshliness, sinfulness, weakness, wounded, you know, whatever it may be, you're wanting to bring them up and out of those things and get them walking in Christ, focused on Him and in obedience to the Word of God. So thank God for those who have that gifting. Even when sometimes believers, you know, don't like it. We have to be faithful in our use, whether or not a person is going to like it. We have to be faithful in unleashing the grace of God to individuals. Now, there's some other giftings here we want to talk about. Giving. Now, the good use of serving is seeing someone faithfully there, helping ministry, doing things like that. Same with teaching and encouragement. The in the flesh use would be when they try to take things over, when they don't show up to help, when somebody's counting on you, when somebody's teaching and they don't really care about the word that much and they're just giving opinions, or when an exhorter just wants to yell at people. Now, that could be in the flesh, you know. And of course, counterfeit. In the New Age movement and other places, you got people that are serving, teaching, encouraging, or exhorting, but not by the Spirit of God. So again, it's important to know the good use in the flesh, which usually means the person's character. They're already grieving the Spirit of God themselves. Now, we'll have a one-hour session just on this issue. Any gifting can be used in the flesh. Every gifting should be used in the best in a good sense, in the fullness of the Spirit. And there are counterfeits more than ever. And again, three of those sessions are coming up to give more definition. Let me give definitions to giving, leadership, and mercy. Those three. Giving, leadership, and mercy. Now, the word giving has the idea of contributing. Over the years, I've had people that had this gift. They not only seem to have the ability to make money, and it could be giving a car, it could be giving food. I know farmers living in the country area that would bring bags of food, give to pastors, give to people. They were givers. People that have giving, this motivating, wanting to contribute to the needs of others. You could do it personally, where you're always looking for somebody. There's been times that people that have this gift will actually put money in their pocket or have something of value, hold on to it with one mentality. Lord, who can I give it to? Lord, I set this aside to give to people. I think if you have this gift of giving, it involves giving money, it involves giving, it could be involved giving time, but it has the idea of contributing to the needs. Where there's a need for food, where there's a need for clothing, where there's a need for a car or something. If you're very, very wealthy, housing, you own hundreds of apartments, and yet, as a believer, you open up a couple of your apartments, and you always keep them open to where there's a little family or a couple, or somebody needs them. And you're literally setting it aside for that use. So contributing to the needs of others, giving. And the great thing about this is when you're giving, and I really love this, it says to do it cheerfully. Well, I mean, in the area of giving and the area of mercy, we're going to find that we're to do it liberally. The idea of giving is the idea of liberally. Mercy is cheerfulness. But in this issue of, you know, to do it without any holding back, with a sense of bountifulness, sincerity. It's not begrudging. It's not looking at a person saying, you know, I'm going to watch how you use this. It's simply to fill needs. The gift, the charismatic gift of giving involves you to do it bountifully. When you give to somebody, if you know you have the ability, they need $100, you don't want to go up and give them five if you have $200 extra in your pocket that you're setting aside to give. You want to go to those that are in need and give bountifully. It reminds me again of God's grace to us. He gives us more grace than we need. He gives us more. What God gives to us is not just up to the limit, up to the bare necessity. And being filled with the Spirit has the idea of overflowing. A cup that is literally being poured into and it's overflowing. And so we need to overflow. Sometimes, you know, you walk up and you have this gift and you begin to give somebody and they say, well, I only need $100 and you're giving me $300. Praise God. Use it for other things, you know. Use it for other clothing. Use it for other food. Use it for your kids. Use it for, you know. And I found this too. I in years past, would have to go out and raise money for youth ministry. And certain individual Christians that had this gift I would go to, very wealthy men and women. I remember sitting down one time with somebody who was known as a giver. And I was, and he welcomed me. He was glad for me to come. It wasn't that he begrudged me coming to seek funds for the ministry of evangelism to young people. So we talked. He asked questions. We talked about a lot of things. And in the end, he moved over a piece of paper. He already had a check for $2,000 written. And after an hour of discussion, he just handed, you know, he had already prayed about it, already prepared, and there it was. And if you have that gift, you may have people coming saying, hey, can you help me out? I look for individuals that with this gift. When I see other needs, sometimes I need to match the giver with those who have the need. The Spirit of God is constantly doing that for the person that has the gift of giving. Let me tell you something. It again demonstrates this bountifulness of God's grace. So be, and givers are blessed. I mean, I've seen individuals that would walk up and give a brand new coat for wintertime to somebody. And the person so blessed and so happy putting it on, loving it, that the giver went away with tears. They were overwhelmed in giving and ministering and helping. So if you have this gift, it's a motivation constantly. Sometimes people who have this gifting look for, you know, sometimes the best deals. They have things stored up. They get things, you know, all of us as believers, if we have store things up. So, you know, I tell people in the end of days issues, don't just store things up for yourselves. Store tons of stuff for others that are going to be in need. Those who have this charismatic gift are going to be, constantly doing it, constantly being supplied by God. Many times God will give them things not for themselves. He may prosper the giver for the sake of using them as the vessel by which, you know, things are given out. So if you have been given wonderfully from God, and you're just overwhelmed with all that God has given you, and you know you have this constant thing of wanting to help people, just keep looking, and God will give you Holy Spirit wisdom on how to give it, where to give it. Pray about, you know, where to give it. Pray about how much to give. And ask God to lead you. And I find those very experienced using this gift are very wise in how they do it. They're looking for how to do it. They're just excited about doing it. Well, let's take another one of these definitions. It's leadership. And how we need, across the board, men and women to lead. Leadership involves time. Leadership involves faithfulness. Leadership involves making sure that you as the leader are built up and strengthened and ready and so forth. There's responsibility with leadership. And this word literally has the idea to rule, to be over, to oversee, in some sense. Peristomy, it is just... Proestomy is just simply the context of presiding, guiding, leadership. You can see leaders. Leaders are, you know, Holy Spirit gifted leaders. You'll see them. Whether that's in the teaching area. I mean, you could have the gift of teaching and leadership. So you not only do you teach a class, but you lead in steering many others to teach other classes. You lead the group of teachers. Leaders lead groups. Leaders have to get up and, they're the ones guiding. They're looking forward. They're looking over things. And they do have a sense of authority from God in the area that they've been given. If you get a leader out of all the deacons, they're the leader. If you get a leader out of all the area of a certain ministry, then they're the leader. Whatever ministry, and most ministry, every ministry team actually will have a leader. I mean, we can go out two by twos and go soul winning, and we just do it together. But if you're leading teams and building teams and recruiting, that involves many more things. And so leadership will stand out. Leadership will stand up. People that have the gift of leadership will see an area that's lacking and say, listen, let me get in there. Let me get a few people together. Let me put this package of stuff, ministry together. Let me launch it out there and give guidance to individuals and begin to see, an area of ministry begin to function well. You have a worship leader. You can have someone who leads in looking over the administrative areas. So whatever area... it can have a leader, and a leader is one simply who leads. They don't just tell people what to do, they lead. They do, and they guide others to do the same. They don't use them. I mean, leaders that get into the flesh will use people only to enhance their own area. Leaders who get into the flesh will only, they don't care about the people who are serving. They don't care how they talk to them. They don't care how they feel. They only care whether a slot is taken care of and whether their area. So it's very important to see, again, the good use where leaders recruit and screen and train and equip and put people in ministry, where they maintain areas, where areas are strong, where areas don't seem to have constant breakdown, where people in a team area, 10, 15 people, they know what's going on, they know what they're doing. So if you're a leader, you have this gift and you're leading the worship team of 9, 10, 12 people, then you care about their personal lives. You love them in the Lord. You care that their giftings and their talents and their works are going to be used for the Lord. You care that the group as a whole does well for the Lord. You want your area to do well for Christ. You want the individuals to do well within that area. And you want to love them well and care about them well and care about their lives in relationship. We've always said relationship first, you know, and service second. It goes hand in hand. And I think that's, you know, as Jesus comes not to be served, but to serve, to minister. You see how he loved, the motivation of God. God so loved the world. Leaders should have that mentality of, you know, I love the Lord. I love his mission. I love this area of ministry. I love the people. And because of that motivation, I'm going to, you know, have 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, 20 people with me to accomplish ministry for Christ. Now, a leader needs to tell some of those under them that don't show up on time, don't show up at all. So, I mean, you need to call them into account. So a leader has a responsibility and to deal with individuals and to make sure ministry is going good. So if we are individuals that have leaders over us, we're told in the book of Hebrews, you know, to obey our leaders. Don't make their job a burden. And don't make it taxing. And to respect leadership. And that's what, again, we're taught. So that's an area. And we're told, listen, as leaders, and I've had this gifting from the very beginning, leaders, it says here, are to do it in spoudē. Now, if you look at the Greek word spoudē here, diligence, zeal, it's translated zeal, effort. It has the idea of, and comes from the Greek games where a wrestler is wrestling another person. They're using every ounce of their fiber of their being to, you know, pin down the other person. So spoudē has this idea of zeal. If you're going to lead, lead with zeal, lead with diligence, lead with consistency, lead with effort, you know, lead. Don't be lackadaisical. Don't be behind the scenes. Whenever a leader is, you know, really weak and not doing their job well or in the flesh, all the team members are always waiting for if the team members are waiting for the leader to show up, waiting for the leader to give training, waiting for the leader to say what needs to go on, that's not good leadership. Good leadership is they're prepared. They're ready. So again, I would add in chapter 12, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, you know, the same. And instead, you know, we're to be ablaze with the Spirit. Leaders, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Strengthen yourself up in the Lord. You know, when you're working with your individuals and ministering, you know, it's not about you. It's about the ministry. It's about serving Christ. It's about taking believers and seeing them faithfully get ministry done and done well. And so leadership is vital and needs that sense of diligence. Let's go on to a couple more here in this one-hour session. We want to go on, well, actually just to mercy. Let's go on to mercy. Now, I think in the context of serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, these gifts in the body, can you imagine seeing a number of people doing this service for the Lord, teaching, encouraging, giving, people that are leading groups? And now mercy. The charismatic gift. Now, God's all about mercy. We're to come before the throne of grace that we might find, you know, grace and mercy. Romans 11 tells us that God decided to have mercy on all people. Mercy involves that there's nothing in the object that draws our help. As a matter of fact, the objects of help may not deserve anything. I mean, they might be, you know, listen, when somebody has the charismatic gift of mercy, and all believers are to show mercy, Matter of fact, to whom you show mercy. I mean, if you show very little mercy gets shown back. Mercy is when somebody owes you something and you don't just take it out on them and rip them to shreds. You might have to forgive them of the debt. You might show mercy by forgiving them. You might show mercy by overlooking the stench of their sin in order to get to them, to lead them to Christ. Mercy overlooks the smells in a hospital in order to minister to somebody laying in the bed. The smells of an individual living under a bridge who didn't eat for 2 days in order to give them food. So the idea of a mercy is attracted to where there is deep, deep need but also where there may be many obstacles. So the person that's showing mercy, and I had doing a gifts training one time, we prayed for an individual, and the Spirit of God just confirmed that they had this gifting. They knew they did. I walked over and the Spirit of God gave kind of a sense. I looked at them and I said, "You have the gift of mercy." And they're like, "Yes," they were all excited. And it was already kind of seen in them, but they were looking for a confirmation. Now, this is a person, they can look at a person on the street, look at an unwed pregnant girl, look at a really bad backslidden, sinner. And their first thing is, "Oh, how are we going to help them?" You know, they already want to take mercy, even to where sin is abounding. Mercy to people in prison. Mercy to arrogant individuals. Mercy to those at home, locked in, bedridden, having to change a bedpan, having to feed somebody with a spoon because they can't even lift their head. Now, we all can show mercy, and we're called all to do mercy, but somebody gifted, man, they are motivated. They are looking. When they see the kind of needs that I'm talking about, they want to get there. Sometimes believers can look at areas and say, "Oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm afraid," or, they don't want to get dirty. Somebody with this charismatic gifting, they don't care. Now, if you're motivated and moved by the mercy of God coming through and showing, I mean, literally, people that know that they're not deserving, they know that they're vile, they know that they're, sick and stinky and whatever else, but somebody with mercy that goes, let me tell you something, as with all charismatic giftings, as they are used, there is a sense of the manifest presence of God coming through, because it's a supernatural gift by the Holy Spirit. And I've watched in the area of mercy to where you can literally feel God's mercy coming through the acts of those who have the gift of mercy. You can feel. Now, it does give this definition, and I think rightly so. Do it with cheerfulness. The Greek word, hilarious. It has the idea that if you're showing mercy again and again, you're working with street people, you're working with hospice, you're working with prisoners, to where you don't listen. Somebody has the gift of mercy, realizes they don't have to take on the disposition of those who are in deep need or in deep sin. You don't have to take on their disposition. You don't have to do it with just a burden or say, "Boy, I have to do this. I don't like doing it, but I have to." The idea here is you're going to show great mercy with cheerfulness, with a joy of the Lord, with a delight in doing. You know what? God delights in showing you mercy and saving you. God delights in showing you mercy and growing you in Christ. God delights in giving you giftings and you beginning to learn them and then beginning to use them. There's a joy in the Lord. Remember what it says about one sinner repenting and getting saved, that all the angels of heaven, all of heaven rejoices. Obviously a great cheerfulness, a great cheering. God is excited. God ministers to us not begrudgingly. And no gifting should be used and ministering to others begrudgingly. We should not end our ministry time to people saying, well, that crazy person needed this. Because did we not love them? Did we not have joy in seeing sinners saved, backslidden people brought back, the joy of the Lord returned? Did we not receive joy in seeing God's ministry go to somebody in the appropriate, you know, area, and they get what they need and they're blessed? So those who are showing mercy are constantly among those who have they have a helplessness, deep need, and sometimes deep sin. Mercy just says, I'm coming to help you, even though you're a vile sinner. And in the context of doing that cheerfully, with joy, with the joy of the Lord, with gladness, with a delight, not for you alone, not just so that you feel better, but the person being ministered to looks at you and says, what in the world is this all about? You know, maybe all the workers in like disasters and things like that, they're wore out, they're irritated, they're mad, they're frustrated, they get so burdened, they want to yell at everybody else. Well, if you have the charismatic gift of mercy, you want to do it with cheerfulness, do your area, do your need, you'll have joy. You'll have significant joy and a sense of God's grace coming through. Well, we are in this session number 8, and we are looking over the charismatic gift of diaconia, serving, teaching, encouragement, exhortation, giving, contributing to the needs, leadership, and mercy. Now, as you look over these areas, it's very important to think in terms of, do you feel you have these? Are you already serving? Do you need confirmation? And we will go over in one of our sessions coming up the concept of confirmation. The one sense of having gifts like this is that it's inward. It doesn't go away. If the Holy Spirit's planted a gift and an ability and a function in you, and you begin to think about serving, think about leading, think about exhorting, think about giving, and you start to do it, it will grow. Now, you may have the Spirit of God just literally let you know you've got this gifting. If you pray and say, Lord, which ones? As you look over all the lists, which ones? You may know or have a sense. Now, we're going to tell you in another session, then pray for a confirmation if you need to. Somebody else that literally walks up, maybe somebody that's got a word, a prophetic word. Somebody just led by the Holy Spirit walks up and says, you know what? The Lord showed me, and I really feel it in my heart. I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel that God is showing me you've got the gift of leadership. Or you've got the, you know. And if the Spirit of God guides somebody, listen, I've prayed that way in the early days for God to give confirmation. And I tell you what, it happened when I didn't really expect it. It happened by just the leading of the Spirit of God in a way in which it was like God himself saying, yes, you have this gift. Yes, it is in you. And it is irrevocable. It is permanent. Now get to it and get to using it and grow it and do it well. So as you look over the definitions, all the definitions, as we've looked at them here, and I think that when you look over word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, helps, administration, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy. All of those are charismatic gifts decided by the Holy Spirit, you know, which ones we will get. We are to be eager, desirous, and when we have either manifestation or Holy Spirit sense of that gift that doesn't go away, then as we step out, let God speak to you, and that you can also ask for a confirmation. And God so many times gives that. And literally the confirmation comes, the more you use your gift, And the more it's sharpened. It's like the more you pray, the more you worship, the more you soul win, you become better at all of it. Fuller and deeper and broader in the Spirit of God. And that's true about giftings. The more you use your gift, the deeper, broader, more experienced you become in using those gifts. Well, pray over the definitions for you, for others. It will even help you in knowing not just your gift, but all the definitions, somewhat of how they work in the simple basic course. And looking at others, God may use you to walk up and do it by the leading of the Spirit, though. Walk up to somebody and say, you know what, I see this in you. And they might, you know, drop their Bible and say, man, I was just praying this morning for a confirmation. Well, may God lead you in that. That shows you care about the rest of the body of Christ and what other believers have, let alone just you. That's what part of being a believer is all about, isn't it? So may God bless you. May the Spirit of God grant the giftings that He's chosen for you in His wise and infinite way. May the Spirit of God give you internal confirmation, manifestation, and outside, but bottom line, confirmation in the actual using of the giftings you've got. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you in the next session.